Let's open our Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter number 50, if you would, and we'll go to the end of the book and the end of a man's life and read one of the last things that we have recorded for us that he spoke, and then work our way back from there. We're looking this week at the man Joseph, and what a powerful lesson this is from the life of Joseph. Of course, we have extended lessons on this particular man's life and this subject. And the truth is, you could go for many weeks and many months, maybe even many years, studying just the life of Joseph. But we want to look at this one little snapshot of his life as an overview. And we begin with this scripture memory verse, Genesis chapter 50 and verse number 20. Now, these are the words of Joseph to his brethren, the same brothers that sold him into slavery in Egypt, the same people that did him wrong, the same people that by all human reasoning and logic he had every reason to be angry with. Notice what he says, speaking out of faith in Genesis 50, verse 20. But as for you, you know, you have to wonder what the brothers are thinking at that pause, don't you? As for you, away with you, to the prison with you. What's he about to say? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. There is a great deal of theology, and there is certainly a lot of application in this verse of Scripture. For example, notice this little phrase, to bring to pass. God always brings His will to pass. Whatever God says He's going to do and God intends to do, He does it. And you may not be able to see how it's going to happen, but God gets it done in His power and in His infinite wisdom. And then notice this phrase. Would you underline it, please? God meant it unto good. This is the title of the lesson. And somewhere in the margin of your Bible, would you write this little cross-reference, Romans 8, verse 28. This is the Old Testament parallel to the principle that we know that all things work together for, what's the next word? Good. Joseph says, God meant it unto good. They work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. There is no doubt Joseph was a man who loved God. There is certainly no doubt that Joseph was a man that was called by God and was in the middle of God's purpose, not only for his own life, but for his entire nation. And God's purpose for the ages were being carried out through the life of Joseph. God meant it unto good. Now, there are a handful of little pictures, photographs, if you will, of the life of Joseph that this particular lesson gives to us. And there's so much that can be said about this man. For example, it's interesting, he's one of the few men in Scripture that nothing evil is said of. That's what makes Joseph one of the most beautiful pictures of Christ found anywhere in the Bible. And we'll see one of those pictures in just a moment. When we first pick up his story, we don't start with him as an old man speaking out of such faith and forgiveness. We have to start with him as a 17-year-old boy. So let's go back in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 37 and walk our way forward. And may I encourage you before the Lord's day to begin somewhere in Genesis chapter 37 and just read through again the scripture, the recorded words of the life of Joseph from Genesis 37 to Genesis 50. It'll help you put all of this in perspective. One of the most beautiful lives that's ever lived is the life of Joseph. Notice Genesis 37 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob." And here's the first mention. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. In other words, Joseph, number one, is doing the right thing. He's feeding the flock. He's doing what he was told to do. And he is trying to take the right stand against what was wrong. He brings this report. He's telling the truth. The first picture we get of him is of a young man just full of integrity and character that grew out of faith in God. And you have this idea that if a man has character, surely everything will go well with him. But there are some huge bumps in the road that Joseph is about to encounter. Notice verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. I think it's interesting that the first words about Joseph is that he's loved more than all of his children. And the last recorded words of Joseph, or at least some of the last, were the words that we read first in Genesis 50, God meant it unto good. I tell you, if you use those two phrases as bookends, there's a whole lot of events that are about to transpire between those two points in this young man's life. between the time he's 17, the time he's an old man, there's a great lesson in this, and that is none of us have any idea what our life is going to hold. Between the great beginning that God gives us and the end when we stand before the Lord and our life on this earth is over, none of us has any idea what we're going to encounter. All we know is that God means it for good. That little word meant kind of jumped off the page at me in preparation for this Bible lesson. We always talk about God and we talk about the good, but notice this little word meant. God is the one who brings meaning and purpose into a man's life. When you trust God, God is the one who brings his intention to pass. Remember, the prophet said that the Lord's thoughts towards us are not of evil, but they're good thoughts towards us to give us an expected end. It may not always be what we expect, but what the Lord expects and what the Lord's plan is always best. So here's the first picture we get of Joseph. Would you write this down? We see him sold into slavery. In Genesis chapter 37, Joseph begins this story, or God begins the story concerning Joseph with him dreaming a dream and telling his brothers, and they get so full of envy and jealousy to the point that finally in Genesis chapter 37, look please at verse number 18, when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. They got so mad at him, they said, let's kill him. And then somebody spoke up in his defense and said, no, let's not kill him, let's sell him. And sell him they did. They sold him into slavery to a group of Ishmaelite merchantmen going down into Egypt. And someone would say, well, could God be in something like that? Oh, yes. Next to the word sold into slavery, would you write this phrase? God meant it unto good. Even after he gets into Egypt, what happens to him? He gets sold again. The merchantmen just turn him around and they sell him again to a man named Potiphar. If you look at chapter 39 and verse number 3, notice the Bible says he's now in Potiphar's house. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. That is the key statement of Joseph's life. If you had to say, what was the secret? What was the thing that made this young man different? The Lord was with him. And that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. God's presence was with this young man even when he was sold into slavery, because God had a purpose for him. God meant it unto good. The second thing that you see is a little subpoint here underneath sold into slavery. A pastor gives this breakdown. I think this is a great way to look at just an overview of the life of Joseph. First of all, things were actually better in Egypt. That sounds strange. How could things be better in Egypt than they were when he was living with Jacob, living in a home, and all seemed to be well? The pastor gives this statement of the reading material, and I've marked it. He said that Joseph was better off in Egypt in the care of God than he was in Canaan among his brothers who despised and envied him. In other words, when we learn to walk with God and we learn to live consciously in the presence of Jesus Christ, things are better for us even in the midst of great trouble because we have God with us. God's plan and purpose is being worked out. And so someone says, well, how'd that story turned out? Well, actually, even living in the presence of God, he has things happen that he would not have chosen for himself. Do you remember when Potiphar's wife lies on him, tries to seduce him? And he says, how then can I sin and do this great wickedness in God's sight? He saw the sin for what it was. He despised it as sin against God. And so now where is he? Now he's not in Potiphar's house. Now he's in prison. And pastor says a second thing about him being sold into slavery. Not only was life better in Egypt, but then eventually it was even better in prison. Isn't it interesting how God's view of a man's life is totally different than man's view? If you're looking at Joseph from man's perspective, it just looks like he's going down, down, down. And somebody would say, boy, his best days are over. Oh, no, his best days are ahead. Because God is doing something. When you find him in prison, if you look at Genesis chapter 39, verse 21, what's the secret? Here's that phrase again. The Bible says, even in prison, that the Lord was with Joseph. You see, the butler may have forgotten Joseph, but God did not forget him. He was better off in Egypt in the care of God than he was in Canaan. He was better off in prison with his character than he was living in the lap of luxury in Potiphar's house. He left his coat, but he kept his character. He made a decision that he would do the right thing. Pastor makes the application that this is the character that grows out of faith. You know, one of the worst things that's happening in our country today is people are trying to teach children character without talking about God. You cannot teach people to do right without God. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That's what the Bible says. In other words, that kind of character is just morality. It's a cheap substitute. It's not enough. The character that Joseph exhibited was the character that grew out of a dynamic faith and relationship with the Almighty God, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and isn't it wonderful we can say the God of Joseph? He allowed this to become so personal, God to become so personal to him, that even when he was sold into slavery, he could say, God meant it unto good. And then there's a lapse of time. You might want to make a note of this. Actually, 13 years would go by. 13 years sitting in a prison. 13 years living under this burden. But could I remind you, 13 years in the presence of God. And for 13 years, God was preparing him for something truly beautiful and wonderful. And so we see a second picture. Not only do we see him sold into slavery, we see him sinned against by his brethren. Somewhere would you write down that if you read Genesis chapter 42 through Genesis chapter 44, you find a series of events where Joseph's brethren are brought before him. And you'll remember that Joseph veiled himself, if you will. He didn't reveal himself to his brethren. And why was that? He wanted to rush to them. Remember that? He had to restrain himself. He wanted to rush to them and throw his arms around them and forgive them. But he doesn't do that. What does he do? He works with them patiently until they come to the end of themselves. I mean, every little statement had significance. For example, when he says, "Do you have any other brothers?" What did they have to think of? Not just the brother back home, they had to think about the brother that they had sold into slavery. When he says to them, "I know what you are, you're spies," what did they have to think of? There's no doubt their mind must have harkened back to the day that they saw this little spy brother of theirs, Joseph, coming to check on them for dad who'd brought already an evil report. And all of this is coming back to them now. And God is bringing them to the end of themselves until eventually Judah finally steps up and says, "Look, take my life." He died. Not physically, but he died to self. And at that moment, Joseph said, "I'm your brother." And though he'd been sinned against by his own brethren, what did he do? He forgave them. Now, this is one of the pictures of Jesus Christ. What does our Lord do? You know what the Lord Jesus wants to do to every sinner? He wants to rush to every sinner. In love and mercy, he wants to rush to every sinner, throw his arms around them and say, "Look, I forgive you." But what does he do? He stands ready to forgive, but he waits and he works. And he prods and prompts, and he brings people to the end of themselves until finally they say, "You know, you're right and I'm wrong. I agree with you. I'm a sinner." And at that moment, he reveals himself and he brings forgiveness and he brings mercy. And of course, the great application of this to us as believers is that if we have been forgiven so much, then we certainly, for Christ's sake, should forgive others. That's what the Scripture teaches. So what is this story of the God that meant it to good? God meant it to good when he was sold into slavery. God meant it unto good when he was sinned against by his brethren. And thirdly, we see that he was sent by God. God meant it unto good when he sent him down into Egypt. Would you look at chapter 43 with me just for a second and verse number 5? What a great statement this is. You know, there's so many powerful statements of faith that come out of this man's life. He says in Genesis chapter number 43 that God had sent him to save much people alive. In other words, he wasn't just there for his own sake. He wasn't just there for his own family's sake. He was there for generations to come to be saved alive. He stepped back from it and he saw the greater picture. Can I tell you, this is the great temptation that I have, is I get tunnel vision. I see my circumstances and what I'm dealing with, and all I can see is from my perspective. And somehow you have to step back in faith and say, "God, show me what you are doing." A pastor said this so many times, and it's in this lesson: remove all secondary causes. He was there not just to have a better life. He was there to preserve his family. In the end, his dad is going to come down, and his brethren, they're going to join him in Egypt. They'll have 17 years together, just like they were 17 years apart. I mean, it's powerful to see what God did in the midst of all of this. And here's the amazing thing. In the end of it all, Joseph was able to look to the future. He was able even to talk to his brethren about the future and what God was going to do. Do you remember back in Genesis 50? He said, "God will surely visit you." Now, I want you somewhere to make a note of this, would you please? The only people that can look to the future are those who have gotten beyond the past. And Joseph was a man that was not content to live in the past, live in the mully grubs, talk about how bad it was, how rough he'd had it. No, no. He came to know God. He learned to trust him. He actually believed what he said, that God meant it unto good. And may the Lord use this lesson to increase our faith so we'll be men and women of faith that believe that the Lord is working. Even when we can't see and understand, the Lord is working behind the scenes to bring his purpose to pass.